Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have ever felt a little down or depressed at times? Anybody? Thank you. How many of you have ever had a conversation with a good friend and been uplifted by that? Anyone? Thank you. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is baptism, retelling the story. And I incredibly want to thank you for gathering together for worship here today, especially on such a wonderful, bright spring day. Today, we will dig into the passage, the walk from Emmaus, a little more. You will learn some things that Henry Nouwen said regarding good tips about pastoral care, and also a new definition of what it means to be a good host. And near the end of the message, you'll get to see a video clip, and I want you to compare that video clip with this well-known story. Can I share with you a little of my own story this morning? Thank you. After I'd been at St. George United Church, which is my previous church, for 12 or 13 years, I began to wonder if I should move. I never wanted to be the guy that stayed too long. So I dusted off my resume and sent it out to two or three churches. And I don't think it's just my ego speaking, but I think I'm a relatively good minister. I work hard, visit the hospitals, like to do Bible studies. So imagine my shock when I got phone calls or letters back from those two or three churches and saying, thanks, but no thanks. Again, you know, I'm a person with a fair bit of experience. I think I have a relatively good humor, sense of humor. I've stayed long at my churches, so that means they're not rushing you out the door. You know, here's your hat. What's your... Yeah, thank you. And then I began to wonder, well, you know, with years of experience, you're also at the top of the salary scale. And lots of churches have financial difficulties anymore, so they would just take a look at that and say, again, thanks, but no thanks, without looking any further. So I was almost ready to approach St. George and ask them for another sabbatical and settle in for the long haul at St. George. But then I got this phone call from none other than the Applebee Search Committee and said, would you like to have a conversation? And the rest is history. So thank you. So that's an example, in a sense, of a situation in my life that's things changed direction from one to the other, and part of it was a little low, you know, forcing the fact that these pink slips that some teachers are getting these days, you know, from different people. So what I want you to do this morning in your question is retell a significant story from your own life. You know, not the whole thing, but briefly find someone around you and share a significant story from your life. And if that's not at your comfort level, feel free to take a moment to just think about it. But we like to chat here, so turn around and find someone to chat to, please. Go. Thank you. there's one of today's Bible story about meeting the friends on the road. Okay? If you want to color it. That's cool. Good to see you. Hi. Please stop. Thank you. I think we all have significant stories in our lives to share, and it's important to retell our stories. And that's what I like about Appleby United Church giving the Family Story Bible at baptisms. Because retelling stories is important, our own, but also those we have as a church family. And as followers of Jesus, we say the stories of Jesus are central to who we are, as you can look around at the stained glass windows. And so we need to retell them to our children and also to ourselves throughout our lives. Now, in this Walk to Emmaus story today, does anybody want to guess how many times a story about Jesus is told or the story of sacred scripture is told? Any guesses? How many times? Is it once? Is it twice? Is it three times? Four? Anybody for five? Let's settle on three. When those two disciples, as the story started and they were walking towards Emmaus, what were they talking about? Jesus' crucifixion. What happened to Jesus? They were talking about the story of their friend Jesus. The one who they thought God was with was mighty in word and deed and was going to set Israel free. And then a stranger comes among them. What did Jesus talk about with them? Thank you, Scripture. He looked at the books of Moses and the books of the prophets to talk about the Messiah, an understanding of the Messiah that fit with Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And then when the disciples, full of joy, ran back to Jerusalem, what did they talk about? About Jesus. He is risen. Thank you. How they recognized him in what? Breaking of the bread and eating a meal together. Wonderful. Now, when I got to thinking about these three retellings, how many retellings? Thank you. I found something interesting. The first retelling is simply their story and how they knew Jesus. It was not sacred scripture yet. The second retelling was the retelling of their sacred stories, the books of Moses and the prophets. And the last retelling is when those disciples had integrated their sacred story into their own story, into their own lives and their own experience. When they did that, they were able to run back to Jerusalem, you know, with a new song in their heart. Henry Nouwen, a well-known priest, professor, writer, and theologian who focused on spirituality of solitude, community, and compassion, had some wonderful insights about pastoral care. Who would like to know what to do to help a friend when they're feeling down, like those disciples walking to Emmaus? Would anybody like some tips? Thank you. Couple hands. Awesome. Wonderful. Henry Nouwen said, the most important thing is providing a safe place where people can retell their own story. Unburden their hearts. Because he firmly believed in the retelling of our story in a safe place. It allows room for the Spirit of God to work in their lives and help them figure out what their next steps should be. How many of you like it when somebody tells you what to do? Yeah, most of us don't, like thanks but no thanks. So we generally need to figure it out for ourselves. And in the retelling of our story, we often have a sense of what our next steps need to be. Now, did you notice what Jesus did in this story when the two disciples were downhearted and walking towards Emmaus? He came and walked beside them. Not in front of them, not behind them. He walked beside them. He didn't try and tell them what to do, or what to believe. He simply gives them space to share what they want to share, feel what they want to feel, space to be themselves. To be able to tell their story without fear of being jumped on or judged, and let God's Spirit do the rest. Now, I find that incredibly good news. To help others, the only thing I need to be an expert at is how to listen. How to what? Thank you. How to listen. To provide that safe place for people to open up and talk. Can it really be that simple? When you hear the word hospitality, what do you think of? What? Food, thank you. I thought I heard a big job, but I don't know if that's what I heard.
Lots of dishes.
Lots of dishes, thank you. Get out the white what? Tablecloth, thank you very much, or the good linen. If it's a really special occasion, you polish up the what? The silver, thank you very much, and get out the good dishes. Wow. And then when it's all done, what do? You relax. You find a chair to sit down in and a glass of wine to have, and you go, I'm so glad that is all over. Now, you enjoy it. You love getting together with family and friends. It's a lot of work. Now, Henry Nouwen gives us a new definition of what it means to be a good host. And the good host is simply providing a safe place for people to open up and tell their stories. So a challenge for us as followers of Jesus is learn how to do that in our day-to-day lives. Learn how to do that when you're at the grocery store and two people ahead of you, somebody just chewed out the cashier. Have you ever been in the grocery store when someone chews out the cashier? You ever experienced that? I know I have. And certainly at Christmas, the long lineups at the cashier when you're buying things. How do you provide a place where the cashier can breathe a little sigh of relief? A safe place as they check you out. A safe place for the person behind you to talk in line. A safe place at the water cooler, maybe when you talk to people at work. Or if you live in an apartment, a safe place for your neighbors or those across the street. As followers of Jesus, we're challenged to be known in our circle of friends and where we live as being a good host. That safe place where people can talk without fear of the story being what? Spread all over the neighborhood. Okay? Confidentiality. Any idea, and look at this story, when people need to talk? There's two good examples in this story of when people need to talk. When they have problems, thank you. Okay, they were bummed out, remember, walking along with their face down at their feet, kicking the dirt. It's probably why they didn't see Jesus. So that's one time. When our dreams have been broken and shattered, we need to share our story. Where's another time in this story, you know, where those two had to shout and say something? Thank you. Good news. You know, when they got back to Jerusalem, they had to tell their friends and neighbors, we recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. When Ryan was born, did somebody get on the telephone and say, hey, here's the good news? You know, it's a boy. They're healthy. Absolutely. I'm getting married. You know, good news. I got a new job. I got a B on that really hard test that I thought I failed. Or I got a goal in ringette or hockey. We need to find places, safe places to celebrate, enjoy, and also to unburden our hearts. It is interesting in this story where the transformation takes place. Where did Jesus, was he recognized by the people? Thank you, the breaking of the bread, a shared meal. Taken, these are the words, blessed, broken, and shared. Those are the same words that are also used in the feeding of the 5,000 in Luke's gospel. And it's just like our lives. Think of times when you have felt blessed. Think of times when you have felt broken. Think of times when you feel you've had a need to share, both being blessed and broken. Others to laugh with you when you are laughing, but also to cry with you when you are crying. A safe place to tell your story, to be supported with those who help pick you up, and think of the role that hospitality played in both those events, sharing the good news and struggling with the bad news. Now, to end with, I want to show you a video clip. I want you to pay close attention to any similarities between this video clip and this story of the disciples walking to Emmaus, the transformation, and running back to Jerusalem. So, and he's sharing the story. I love it. House lights. Enough to Please forget the PC commercial at the end. President's choice, you know. Did you notice any similarities in that story? Think of the beginning of that story, that video clip in the story. All alone, thank you, and you don't know anybody. It was hard to see at the beginning because of the lights, but she goes into her apartment at the night, and the security guy, of course, is looking at what? His phone. Okay, not saying hello to anybody. Goes on the elevator. What's everybody doing? Looking at their phone. Is anybody trying to say anything, you know? She goes home, and what is she greeted by? Same thing. Did you notice this? The mic drop, the bag drop. What changed? And that's like the disciples, right? Going along the road towards Emmaus, okay, they're kicking the dirt, their faces in the dirt, okay? They don't notice anything else around them. Okay, and in a sense, they're isolated in their own despair. As the woman on the elevator. Okay? What changed? Thank you. Hospitality. Anything else? Hashtag what? Eat together. Thank you. Did you notice the change on the people's faces when they started to eat together? What were they doing? Thank you. Smiling. Laughing. Relaxed. Thank you. Jesus broke the bread and gave it to them, shared it, and their eyes were what? Their eyes were opened to a new sense of community, a new sense of being with one another. Did you notice, and hopefully through that, a sense of Christ in our midst, did you notice the role of children in this video? Okay, when did you notice the children? Thank you, they were in the inviting ones. Did you notice the first family that came out of the elevator? They kind of went, and what did the child do? Ran and dragged her mom along, come on. And then at the end, what did the child do? Crawled underneath and brought out an elderly gentleman from his hotel, from his apartment. I like how, in a sense, through that act, people came out of their closed tombs, their isolation, got to know one another, laughed, smiled, and probably began to learn how to support one another in their lives. Creating safe place for stories to be told and celebrated in the neighborhood. Easter doesn't always happen in 3 days. Okay, from the crosses of our Good Friday brokenness to the joy and rebirth of Easter morning. Sometimes we need people to walk along the road beside us for a while. Sometimes we even need people to sit beside us in our tombs until we have the courage to step out into the light of day again. It's important to remember Easter is a whole season, not just 3 days or a single day. Because sometimes it takes a while for our hearts to be rekindled, for that wellspring of joy to bubble up and gurgle up inside us again, like the sound of a newborn baby who, thank you, who gurgles, you know, and bubbles, you know. Sometimes it takes a while for us to untangle ourselves from our grave clothes and leave them behind and begin to see the risen Christ in our midst and in our communities again. And this is often done through the caring presence of others, of being good hosts, And after we have seen the light of day again, we are asked to be a good host or a caring presence to those God has placed around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.